We invite your Holy Spirit. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Touch our hearts, cleanse our hearts, purify us, O Father, sanctify us, wash us, make us to understand your plan and purpose. As I speak, it is not my voice, O Father, it is your voice. I am your servant. And Lord, as I speak, fill me with your Holy Spirit, O Lord. Empower me with your Holy Spirit. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable to thee, my rock and my redeemer. And all God's people said, Amen, Amen, and Amen. Before I preach, let me tell you something. There were two brothers, old brothers, in a small village. Very, very mischievous. Very mischievous. If something happens in that village, everybody will say that go to that house, those two guys, except those two guys, nobody will do this mischief. So go to that house directly. Let it anything in the small village happen. Then mother said, what to do? She started praying. My children are very mischievous. God, I need some help that I need to teach these people. So one day she heard that there is a new pastor who has come to that church. And the mother was told that there is a new pastor in the church. He's a very good guy. So mother said, oh, thank God. God has heard my prayer. Now I'm going to send my children to this pastor and he's going to train my children. And she went and spoke to the pastor. And pastor said, on one condition, don't send these two guys together, one at a time. And first send me the younger guy, not the older guy. Send me the younger guy. And the younger guy came to the church, sitting alone with the pastor. A pastor is looking at him. Where is God? And this guy started looking at pastor. And again, pastor said, where is God? He was looking at pastor. And the pastor, he screamed and said, where is God? This guy with scare, he ran to the house, into the closet, closed the closet, shivering, and the tears are coming up, and the sweat is coming up, and the elder brother is searching for him, and at last he found in the closet. What happened, buddy? Dude, we are in great trouble, dude. Somebody stole God, and they think that we have done that. Somebody stole God. They think we have done it. You know, it's so funny, right? But we all need to be disciplined in our life. And many times, you know, we don't understand what we are losing in our life. What we are losing in our life. Today, you know, when I was reading this story, I was so touched because I read this almost about 100 times I might have read from this story from the Bible. I couldn't understand. And never I touched this subject to preach. I never preached on this subject. But I started this whole week. I was just going through certain things, and I was just praying to God, crushed, praying to God. I said, Lord, this week almost I have to do about 4 sermons, and I need your help. I need your help because I don't do it, and I'm not a big reader. You know, if I read about 2 paragraphs, I cannot go more than that because that is too much for me to meditate. And therefore, I was asking God to just give me that wisdom and knowledge. because I would love to do certain things for you. Now let's go to chapter 27 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. I'm reading from verse 1. Early in the morning, the chief priest and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They found him. They led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priest and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed the innocent blood. What is that to us?" They replied, "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they decided to use money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field as the Lord commanded me. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priest and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast of release of a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy, bitterness, that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priest and the elders pursued the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to the crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took him into the portico and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of
him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. It's a beautiful story. What Judas missed in his life. What Judas missed in his life. You know, many times we read Bible and we take it as a story and we say that, okay, Judas was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And Judas was a treasurer, right? There's so many things they come up. And we don't understand one thing. Why did he do this? And what did he miss in his life? Many times when we do not understand Jesus in our life, we miss so many things, my friends. We miss so many things in our life. And we become like Judas. But, you know, this evening I would love to bring the beautiful story of Judas who lost many things in his life. What Jesus wanted to give him. And when we don't understand, this is what is going to happen to us. So, let us see. Number one, why did Judas do this? Let us ask question. What made Judas Iscariot to do this act of betrayal? Did you ever thought about this? How many of you, I'm sure that you might have read this in the Bible. How many of you have read this story in the Bible? How many of you read? Praise the Lord. Almost everybody we read. And we all know. We all know. Now, when I'm preaching, you don't think that this is a Good Friday service sermon. No, I'm going to give you Easter sermon out of this. I'm going to give you Easter sermon. When we don't understand, this is what is going to happen. But you know, when you read the Bible, that's what I said. When I read Bible, not more than a paragraph, I can't read. Because there is so much in the Bible, if I read a paragraph, it will take for me at least about 3-4 days or a week for me to meditate and to understand and to get message from that. I cannot do that more than that. I will be struggling. I will be struggling sleepless nights. I will be crying night. I will get down and I will be crying. And there are tears in my eyes when I look into the truth in the Bible. When God reveals to us, when God speaks to us, you will be restless. Now I want you to be restless when you read Bible. When you are restless, then the Spirit of God is working in you. If you read Bible, fold it and keep it and sleep, nothing is working in you. Nothing is working in you. But let me tell you something. When the Spirit works, you cannot sleep. When the Spirit works, there is tears in your eyes. When there is Spirit works in your life, you will say like David, "As the deer panteth for water, my soul panteth for you." When the Spirit of God works in us, my friends, you'll be restless, I'm telling you. Did you ever experience this sort of disturbance in your life? If you have experienced, then say, praise God, because God speaks to me And I can understand his language. I can understand his voice. I can recognize his voice in my life. Why? What made Judas to betray Jesus Christ? Is my question. And I would like to ask you, whenever you read Bible, there are many questions that we need to ask. And there are many answers in the Bible we need to put into questions. When you have this question and answer, you will be solving the problems in Bible. The problems are not solved by you, but God gives us those solutions in our life to understand. Because God never wants to have any mysteries between him and us. What made Judas to do this? Okay, number one, Judas is the only Galilean in the band of 12. He's only Galilean. And you should know what is the meaning of Galilean. That means he comes from Galilee, the place of Galilee. And most of Jesus' ministry is done near Galilee, Sea of Galilee. And we see that, you know, whenever you read Bible, there were 10 villages surrounded by the Sea of Galilee. And whenever you see that Jesus is taking boat and going from one place to another place. So, number one, who was Judas? Judas was a Galilean. And only Jesus knew the hidden part of Judas Iscariot. Only Jesus knew what was in his heart. The darkest part of Judas was seen only by Jesus Christ, which Judas observed. In your life, there are some darkest points. You don't reveal everything to your wife. You don't reveal everything to your husband. You get my point? I'm telling you, husband and wife, do you reveal everything to your husbands? Do you reveal everything to your wife? No, there are some hidden things. And not only that, there are some hidden parts in our life, hidden stories in our life, hidden works in our life we don't reveal to people. But let me tell you something, you cannot hide anything from God. Our God, who searches our heart and knows our thought before we think anything, he knows the motive behind every thought before you do it. Our God knows. And Judas, before he could do something, Jesus knew what he was going to do. But let me tell you something. At the Last Supper, Jesus revealed, right? Before it happened, Jesus revealed and said, you know, somebody is going to betray. Somebody is going to do this. How did Jesus know before the action took place? How did? Can you or me hide anything from God? Can we hide anything from God? Now, if you think that I can hide something from God, you are a fool. I am a fool. Because fools think that there is no God. When you say that there is no God, then you want to hide everything from God. Now, Judas knew that Jesus knows what is in his heart. What is in his heart, Jesus knows. Number three, Judas Iscariot was a greedy person. He was a greedy person. Now, we all know that Judas, he misused the money what they had. Number three. Number four, he was a treasurer of the gang. He was a treasurer of the gang. And not only that, he was thinking that Jesus has to establish the kingdom for Jews. And he had a plan. He says, anyhow, this man is not going to listen to anybody. But if I betray and deliver him to the Romans or to the high priest, at least to save himself, he will establish the kingdom. You know, the crook way of thinking is very different. Crooks think in a very different way. And sometimes we say that, you know, when the crooks talks to us, we say, "Are, I never thought about this." When you don't think about certain things, that is a crook, the way of crooks they think. And this guy was a crook. And not only that, you know, this guy comes from a very terrorist group. Zealot, we heard, Zealot, right? They are like terrorists. They have much interest in their religion. Okay? And we talk about Al-Qaeda now. What are they fighting for? They're fighting for their religion. And this guy wanted the Jewish kingdom to be established. Now, all these things are in Judas' mind. All these things are in Judas' mind. And he said, anyhow, I am going to do what I have to do. So he thought that by committing this man, or betraying this man, or handovering this man to the chief priest, I will succeed in my plan. He had his own plan. He has his own plan to change Jesus. He had his own plan to change Jesus. How many of you have your own plans to change God's plan for your plan? I'm certain that there are many people who has a plan. When the plan is not working, now you're seeking alternative for that. Now when somebody comes and says that, hey, you know, God is going to bless you, my friend, and you're so happy, you're waiting for that blessing. If that blessing doesn't come, then you'll say, okay, God is delaying, so therefore let me use my own plan. And we have our own plans. We want to change the game. Game changer. Correct? Game changer. Now he's a game changer. He wanted everything to be changed. He wanted everything to be changed because he knew what Christ can do. He knew the capacity of Jesus Christ. He knew that he is the Son of God. Only he can do. But how to change the mind of Jesus Christ? How to change the mind of Jesus Christ? We are praying. How many of you pray? Everybody prays. How many of you have prayer requests? Everybody has a prayer request. How many of you have need? Everybody has needs. Right? But we don't want to be delayed. Night we pray, morning you should see the results. If we don't see the results in the morning, then change the strategy of prayer. Many people do that. When you do this, let me tell you something. Tell yourself that you want to sell Jesus. You want to betray Jesus in your life. Because when God does things for us, he will do according to his timing, not according to your timing, not according to my timing. It is only according to the God's timing which will happen. If you're trying to do according to your time, if you're forcing God to do, then at one point you will become Judas to betray Jesus, because your priorities are more greater than the priorities of God and the plan of God in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. So whose priorities? Is it your priority or is it God's priority? It should be God's priority. But for Judas, he had his own priorities. Judas, he had his own priorities. So therefore, let us see, what did he miss because of his priorities? What are you going to miss because of your priorities? What am I going to miss because of my priority? When Judas had approached Jesus Christ, what did Jesus call him? What did Jesus call him? He said, my friend. What did he say? My friend. A friend who can be trusted. A friend who can be understood by another friend. You will never call a person friend unless and until you trust him. Jesus trusted Judas in spite of his weakness. Even today, Jesus trusts you and me. Your husband may not have faith on you. Your wife may not have faith on you. But before we were born, Jesus has put his faith in you and me because he knows who we are. God has faith on us. But don't fail him in your life. You will miss something. Now here, he comes, gives a beautiful kiss, right? And he says, Rabboni, my teacher. Ah, my teacher. And he says, my friend, do what you want to do. Come on, do it very fast. There is no time for us. No discussion. No explanation. No classes. 3.5 years, finished all the classes. Now it is up to you to decide what you want to do with your life. Come on, go ahead. And he gives him a beautiful kiss. And he was arrested. When he was arrested, he was taken to the high priest. When Jesus was taken to the high priest, what did they do? The acquisitions. And they said that this man should be killed. Now listen. What happened to Judas during this time of the period? When Jesus was taken to the high priest, Judas realized what he did. What did he do? He goes to the high priest and says that I have betrayed an innocent person, therefore take your money. The high priest says, I have nothing to do with this. I'm not responsible. You are responsible what has happened. So I have nothing to do with this. It is up to you. And what did he do? He went and hanged himself. Judas went and hanged himself. When did he hang himself? Let us see in the Bible. As we read the Bible, Jesus and Judas, when we see Judas, number one, he hanged himself before Jesus was sentenced to death. Number one, Judas hanged himself before Jesus was sentenced to death. You drive. When you get a ticket on the road, as soon as you get a ticket, you're not guilty. You're not guilty. You get my point? You're not guilty. Then what do? You go to the court. Now, whatever the judge decides, based on that, your punishment. But just because you get a ticket, you're not guilty. You have to wait for the judge to decide on your case. If judge says that, okay, I have forgiven you, you're free. You're guiltless. Just because he was handed over to the high priest, it doesn't mean to say that Jesus is on the death sentence. No. Now somebody in the power has to decide what will happen with Jesus. But before that, this guy goes and hangs himself. And after that, the whole process starts. Now when the whole process starts, that is the time Pilate says that I don't see anything in him, man. Let him go. Let him go. But the crowd insisted that Jesus should be crucified. Jesus should die. Before Jesus' death, this guy is... What did happen to this guy? This guy hanged himself. Number two. When Jesus was on the cross, what he lost when Jesus was on the cross? The very first word Jesus said, Father, please forgive, for they do not know what they are doing. And where is Judas? Judas is dead. Judas is dead. Before the forgiveness of God was granted, Judas is dead, my friends. In our life, many times we are missing what God wants to give us, we are missing. We are not understanding the love of God in our life. God has sent his Son not to condemn this world, but to save this world. And when Jesus said, Father, please forgive, Judas was included if he was alive, my friends, in this forgiveness. But he lost the forgiveness of God. Let's go to 2 Peter, 3rd chapter and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Now this is Peter is bringing to us, right? Peter is bringing from 2 Peter chapter 9. Let me read in NIV. This is King James. So let me read with... Second Peter chapter 3. And verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Jesus, the main goal of Jesus dying for us is that we need to be saved. He's slow to anger, his patience. But many times you haste, you do some hasty things. And that's what Judas has done. Atrapaddadanta. Devuni yokka rakshananu pondaleka, pondukoleka, atrapadi. He committed suicide. Jesus died so that we may live. Jesus died that you and I may live. And therefore he says some people think that he's slow. No, he's not slow because he wants everyone, including Judas, he wanted everyone to be saved. Judas missed the salvation of God in his life because of his actions. Judas missed his salvation because of his actions. God wants to bless you and me. But many times,
Because of our decisions in life, we lose God's blessings. And I urge you, my friends, I beg you in the name of Jesus, please look into yourself. Do not be anxious over anything. Peter is writing, no, Paul is writing, Philippians chapter 2, 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord. Be not be anxious over anything, but bring everything in prayer and supplication. Bring it to the presence of God. Don't be in a hurry. Don't rush. Don't have plan. But let the plan of God be done in your life so that you will enjoy the power of God in your life. The resurrection power of God in your life. And that's the reason, you know, on the Transfiguration Mountain, when Peter, John, and James, they have seen the glory of God, Jesus said, do not open your mouth till the resurrection. Do not open your mouth. Do not proclaim what you have seen to this world till I am risen from the grave. Because if you do not have the experience of risen Christ in you, you will manipulate the message of God in your life. Instead of saving souls, you will kill the souls. And therefore Jesus said, do not open your mouth till you see me resurrected. Then after resurrection, he says, go and preach. Go and tell the truth. Baptize people. Make them disciples. Why? What is the reason? They have seen the power of Jesus Christ in their life. Till then, Jesus said, just keep quiet. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Judas missed the salvation of God in his life due to his own decisions. Many times, if you are taking any decision on your own, you're going to miss the blessings of God. You're going to miss the blessings of God, and do not do that. Do not do that. Judas wanted peace, and Jesus promised. John 14, what he says, I give my peace to you. And that's what he said. I leave my peace with you. The peace which passeth all understanding is with you. Not as the world gives peace, but my peace is so different. Shalom. I never had clue. All my three daughters' names were given by my wife. So today when I speak about Shalom, I thank God for my wife, because there's peace in our family. In spite of everything, there is peace in the family. The reason I taught my children to wait upon the Lord. Don't take any decisions on your own. Wait upon the Lord. It is not easy. It is a tough time. You will be crushed. You will be put to test. But just wait upon the Lord. And do not imitate this world or be intimidated by this world. Jesus said, I'm going to give you. You want peace? He told, because this was the message given to the 12 disciples. He was talking, John 14. He says, I'm going to give you peace. The peace which I give you, the world cannot give you. So what you want, Judas? What you want? You want peace? You want peace? So wait. But Judas had his own plan. He lost the peace of God. He lost the salvation of God. He lost everything in his life, my friends. He lost everything. And not only that, he wanted power, right? He wanted power. That's what his main goal and aim, when you see, when he was trying to betray Jesus, he was looking for the power because he wanted the power of Roman to be thrown out. And the power of God has to be established. And because he was one of the disciples, he says, if Christ rules, I'm going to rule with him. And he wanted the power. You know, let me tell you something. Acts chapter 1, before Jesus ascended into heaven, this is exactly after 40 days happening. When Jesus rose from the grave, after 40 days before he went into heaven, he ascended into heaven, he told something to his people. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Say amen. Judas wanted to rule this world. After 40 days, Jesus gave the authority and power to the 12 people. They lost the power. They lost the peace. Judas, he lost the salvation. He lost the peace of God. And he lost the power of God by making his own choice. I want to challenge you today. Do you have anything in your mind which is bothering you, like Judas? I'm sure that we all have something which is bothering us. But let me ask you, and let me tell you, do not take your own decision. Give yourself to God in his time. The salvation, the peace, and the power of God will be yours if you wait upon the Lord. If you wait upon the Lord, these three things belong to you. The 11 waited and they received. One lost his life because of his own decision in his life. Now let me ask you, what did Judas miss in his life? What did he miss? He missed the salvation of God. He missed the peace of God. And he missed the power of God. Don't miss it. And in conclusion, I would love to show you a video. I want you to just look at the video, listen very carefully, because I want you to make a decision today. The power of risen Christ in our life is to raise us from where we are, to bring into his presence. God wants us to lift us up and bring to his throne. If you believe that Jesus has conquered the death, if you believe that Jesus is your Lord, watch this video. I want you to make a decision. I'm going to come back.
Easter. What is Easter? What significance does it carry? What impact does it have on us? Easter conjures thoughts of spring. Flowers blooming, grass growing, trees budding, new life beginning. But before spring, we must endure winter's pallor. Barren trees, bleak skies, frozen, lifeless earth. Easter connotes joy. The risen Savior, the empty tomb, hope for everlasting life. But before the resurrection, we must acknowledge the cross. Excruciating death, deep sorrow, the hopelessness of the grave, the fear and scattering of the faithful. Easter confirms victory. Death loses its power. The grave loses its sting. But to experience victory, a battle must be fought. A war waged, the lines were drawn, and powers collided in an epic struggle with eternal consequences. These images mirror our existence. Before faith in Christ, our hearts lay dormant, our future grim, our souls defeated, life, joy, and victory were beyond our grasp until Jesus changed everything. His death and resurrection literally shook the foundations of the earth. The conflict raged between incomparable good and consummate evil. Jesus stormed into the fray because we were unable to withstand the assault on our own. He offered himself so that we might be rescued from the penalty of sin. Our struggle became his. His victory became ours. Violence, darkness, and destruction gave way to peace, brilliance, and restoration as the power of God exploded throughout creation. In a moment of time, the fate of humanity was forever altered. Jesus conquered Satan and secured our immortal destiny. Thus, Easter extends blessings to us: grace, forgiveness, mercy, hope, life, eternity. But Easter also requires a decision to receive or reject those blessings. We can fall prey to disbelief and remain victims of sin's allure, or we can accept the sacrifice and salvation Jesus offers. Let us choose wisely. What is Easter? What significance does it carry? What impact does it have on us? New life, joy, and victory now are ours for the taking just because of Jesus. Because of Easter.
At this time, I just ask you, Lord, please close your eyes. I want you to spend some time in prayer. I ask God. Lord, many times I'm struggling in my life. I am unable to wait upon you. My problems. My friends, let me tell you something. Only Jesus can do for us. Nobody else. As we have seen, all the spiritual leaders are dead. The Catholic, they worship Mary. Mary is dead. Mary needed salvation through Jesus Christ. You cannot go and bow before a statue. Your decisions are wrong many times. And this evening, I am asking you, please do not miss what Judas has missed in his life.
I want you to enjoy the salvation of God and the eternal life of God, which is a gift from God through our Savior and Christ Jesus. If you're struggling, my friends, with any of the decisions, I want to pray with you. Stand wherever you are. I would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. Wherever you are, I would love to pray with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I don't want you to miss. If you say that, Pastor, I want to recommit myself because I am struggling and many times I have made decisions like Judas. But today, thank you for letting us know that in a hasty decisions, we lose God's blessings, God's salvation, God's peace, and God's power in our life. As you stand, I want you to raise your hand, right hand. Let me pray with you. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as your children have raised their hands, I raise my hand, O Father, and touch them. In the name of Jesus, I pray that your Spirit may fall upon them. The salvation, the peace, and the power of God be restored in them, O Lord. May they be a great witness, O Father, and I bless them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let your will be done in your life. Thank you for the word which has come to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord